Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft.
That's right. We will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and surprises.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year.
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Lombardi may have been lifted, but that doesn't mean there's no football to talk about. It's the offseason, and there's no better way to stay up to date with the latest from our league than with the Around the NFL podcast. Join me, Dan Hensis, and my buds, Mark Sessler and Greg Rosenthal, for news and fresh content all offseason long. From the start of free agency, where we'll break down familiar faces headed to new places, to the next generation of superstars walking across that stage at the NFL draft, we have you covered. Listen to the Around the NFL podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Heed the call.
It's draft season. The 2024 NFL draft is right around the corner, and the Move the Six podcast has you covered for all your draft needs. The show is hosted by me, Daniel Jeremiah, and my partner, Bucky Brooks.
When it comes to Detroit and the draft, Move the Sticks is the podcast that will answer all of your questions. Who should you put in your mock draft? Don't worry, tune in and you'll be ready to watch the draft like a scout.
We've been studying these prospects all season, so you won't get a better opinion. Subscribe now and listen to the Move the Sticks podcast on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL Podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. The Doug Gottlieb Show broadcast live every day from sunny Southern California and the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com will help you get there. Unmatched selection, fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, and over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. We got a lot to get to, man. This is fantastic. I have some thoughts for you. I have some thoughts for you on Kyler Murray, the juxtaposition of Kyler Murray and Justin Herbert, two very talented quarterbacks, and the difference in the two in postgame. Granted, Justin Herbert's team won, Kyler Murray's team lost, but it's really interesting when you balance that versus Zach Wilson last week, right? I got some Tom Brady thoughts for you. Boy, the Mike White thing, it's only week one, but the tribe feels like it's spoken. It feels like what happened in Washington at quarterback is what's happening with the Jets. We'll get to that. Plus, some Deion Sanders news, some college football stuff. Did you guys see that Zubac had 30 and 29? Crazy. And I got some college hoop stuff, maybe. I don't know. There's so much to talk about because we haven't talked. Right, it's like it was like Thanksgiving. Like, man, we haven't talked. What are you doing now? Where are you living? What are you doing? It's kind of where we are because I haven't talked to you guys since Wednesday. Right, Thursday we were off for Thanksgiving, and then Friday I did Cowherd. I'm doing Cowherd. What, the next 2 days? Is that right, Jay Stu? We're doing Cowherd together.
That's correct. Yep.
All right, I'm doing Cowherd.
Our own Dan Beyer will be in on this show for the next 2 days.
Well, this show will be better because of it, and then we'll try and We'll try not talk about USC incessantly on Coward. That'll throw his audience for a complete loop. We'll get to the SC thing maybe as well. Let's start with the last thing. Sometimes is the most powerful thing. I understand that we don't want to overreact, but that was a really interesting game, right? Really interesting game, because if you watch the game, you started to understand on many levels why the Packers made you think they could be good and why they're clearly not. Then Aaron Rodgers gets hurt. So the Eagles beat the Packers. They're up 13-0, and it looks like, what time does Yellowstone come on? Right? That's what it felt like. Then they march back to tie the game. And late in the game, Aaron Rodgers gets hurt. Here's Aaron Rodgers on his rib injury.
And it was in the first half, and then got kind of re-aggravated in the third quarter. Just having a hard time breathing and rotating my upper body. So I was worried about a punctured lung as well. So I wanted to get that checked out. You know, as long as I check out fine tomorrow, I'll expect to play this weekend.
Oh, you think you might?
Yeah, as long as I check out okay tomorrow.
Here's Matt LaFleur when he was asked if he expects Aaron Rodgers to be out there next week.
We got to have more conversation before we even get into that. But no, I mean, as long as he's able to go, I expect him to be out there.
Jordan Love did come in, throw a touchdown pass, let him on a field goal drive. Here's LaFleur on Jordan Love.
I'm not shocked, to be honest with you, that he went out there and played well and showed great poise. That we see it on a daily basis, you know, in practice. And I know, you know, people might not necessarily agree with that, but I see it every day. And I think he's a guy that continued to get better and better each and every day in practice.
Then there's Jalen Hurts, who, I mean, he played really well. Some of the throws he made were outstanding, but he had 100 yards rushing in the first quarter. And a good portion of it, you're just sitting there going, how many missed tackles I think they had 15 missed tackles, the Packers. And a lot of it is the Eagles. They get running downhill, and you get the third down, you know he's going to run. They have design runs, and there's not a lot you can do to stop him. Because of how they spread you out, and it didn't feel like the Packers had a great plan for how to stop him, nor the personnel to make the plays. But here's Hurts being compared to, look at all these former athletic, running, throwing Eagle quarterbacks, Mike Vick, Randall Cunningham, Don McNabb.
It means everything. You know, I have a great deal of respect for those guys, the guys that have come before me, Randall, Mike, McNabb, and just the way they played the game. I always talk about how I admire the way they played the game, and you know, to be thrusted into that category and different things, it's a blessing.
Here's Hurts comparing his offense to your favorite steakhouse.
You know, for us as a football team, as an offense, it's like your favorite steakhouse, your favorite restaurant, five-star bougie restaurants you like to go to. You know, you have your steak of the day, your selection of the day, the chef's selection.
Not really exactly sure that analogy. Do you guys, Jay Stu, do you understand that analogy? I didn't really get that. Does he mean that you have all the different steaks or all the different options, right? Like hand the ball to Sanders, I could keep it, throw it to A.J. Brown. It's like, what was he trying to say? Like one's
that's
a filet mignon,
that's
one's a New York strip,
yep.
One's a cowboy ribeye?
That's exactly what it is, yep.
Okay. Now I get it when I fleshed it out, but I don't think it landed the way he intended. We got it. I mean, that offensive line just mauled the Packers. And then, you know, between him and Sanders, you get those guys to the second level and they make you miss. So here's my takeaways from last night's game. I don't think the Packers are that far away as Christian Watson continues to show why they took him as high as they did. Obviously, they're going to need a tight end and another wide receiver. But the running backs, both good. The line, not great, but considering the injuries they sustained, feels like it could be better. The defense is a mess. And to people who are like, well, will they move on to Jordan Love? Have you looked at Aaron Rodgers' contract? Have you looked? He's owed $58 million guaranteed next season. The dead cap number is $91 million. Okay, so they're not trading him. They're not cutting him. The only thing is Aaron want to walk away from $60 million. That's it. And I don't get the sense that he does. I don't get the sense anybody would walk away from $60 million. It's $60 million, you're never getting people like, well, he could go into broadcasting. He's not making 60, not making 50, 40, 30, maybe 20, like Amazon just threw everything at him. But I don't think he wants to go out this way, broken thumb and now potential broken rib. The other part to it is, I have the my only reason I have been against the long-term investment in a running quarterback. And you can tell me all the things you want about, why do you say running quarterback? Did you watch the game? Okay, somehow that's like a bad, it's like I'm labeling him something. No, that's what he is. Tebow was a running quarterback, but he couldn't throw at all. Okay, Jalen Hurts can throw. And Jalen Hurts is getting better at progression reads. A beautiful touchdown, back shoulder throw. Like, he's not terrible. He's not Josh Allen. He's not Pat Mahomes. He's not, you know, pick the more pocket-centric passers. They can run as well. He is a running quarterback. And the question is, and this is an honest question, is can that style of offense, which has taken over college football and has taken over a bunch of teams in the NFL, can it win in the playoffs? One, can it win in playoffs? And then two, can long-term, can it win? People not figure it out, and can you stay healthy? That's the question. And the answer has been no and no to this point in terms of can it win the playoffs and can you stay healthy? Kaepernick did not run the complete zone read, but he got to the Super Bowl once, and then people seemed to figure him out. I don't know if they figured out Lamar or if it's the team or whatever. Boy, he was bad on Twitter, but what we've seen the ceiling for Lamar, and again, we can talk about a bunch of different things. He hadn't gotten to a conference championship game yet. Jalen Hurts got to the playoffs last year. Granted, first 4 years as a starter, looked like didn't belong. Kyler Murray got to the playoffs. Again, I understand there were other, didn't have new Hopkins, blah, 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 blah. That style did not work in the playoffs. Now, the difference is for the Eagles, and this is a big difference. They get the number one seed. Teams don't have a week or 2 weeks to prepare for what they do, which is very likely to be completely different from what they prepared for to get to playing the Eagles on the road in the playoffs. And that's one of the reasons that oftentimes the Eagles have struggled in the second half is teams got to figure out what they do and how they do it is different. But the lack of ability to prep for them, I think, could make this time, this team, this style. Because the other things they do, they run the ball obviously exceptionally well, but they also pressure the passer really well. And they get after you. Now, they couldn't, their special teams was a disaster last night. And their defense did show some holes as the Packers were able to move the ball up and down the field. It was turnovers that ultimately did Aaron Rodgers in. But my takeaways from last night are that Jordan Love might be a little bit better than we thought, but he's still not going to supplant Aaron Rodgers next year because of that contract. And that I'm intrigued by Jalen Hurts and this team, and if they're the number one seed in the NFC, granted, they played a super soft schedule. But I'm intrigued to see if they can be the team that breaks through and can win with this style in the playoffs, which has... Kaepernick got to a Super Bowl, but that was the whole team was dominant. But it was before everybody had seen a team at this level go all in on the read option style. It was a decade ago. But outside of that, hasn't really won in the playoffs.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's draft season. The 2024 NFL Draft is coming up, and the Move the Sticks podcast has you covered for all your draft needs. Do you want to watch the game like a fan or have the mind of a scout? The show's hosted by me, Daniel Jeremiah, and my partner, Bucky Brooks. The two of us bring knowledge from careers as NFL talent scouts to the podcast world so fans can watch and understand the nuances of the game like never before.
If you want to learn everything about this year's prospects ahead of the draft and learn what makes them stand out, there's no better podcast than Move the Sticks. Who are the top five draft prospects at each position? Which quarterbacks are going in the first round? Who are the top 50 prospects in the draft? Who should you put in your mock draft? We have all the answers for you.
We've been studying these prospects all season, so you won't get a better opinion. We'll have several new episodes dropping each week, and you don't want to miss a single one. Subscribe now and listen to the Move the Sticks podcast on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow, the Chiefs did it. They went back to back.
The end of another season, and now for some time away from the studio.
Oh, Mark, we're not done. Now the fun starts. It's the offseason.
The combine.
Guys running really fast. You bet we're covering
it. Free agency.
Old faces and new places. Of course we'll talk about
it. Got the draft.
The next generation of stars. It's a must.
I'll just set up a sleeping bag in the studio.
That's right. There's no better way to stay up to date on the latest from our league than listening to Around the NFL. We'll break down all the moves in free agency and make sure you're ready for the start of next season.
I'll be here, so you should listen to every word we say about everything we see.
That's right, Mark.
Listen to the Around the NFL podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Heed the call.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft, and iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the craziest surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL Draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
What up with you, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. The Doug Gottlieb Show broadcast live every day from sunny Southern California. Welcome, welcome, welcome in. Hope you're doing great. We're broadcasting live from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com will help you get there. Unmatched selection, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection. Over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. We got a bunch of things to get to, including Deion Sanders getting offered a Power 5 job, but still no word on whether or not Deion will take that job. Steve Palazzo Palazzolo will join us. He's a Pro Football Focus senior NFL and college football analyst. I got a lot of things I want to get to. You know, there is one thing that's really important, okay? I'm not going to do a ton on college football today. SC obviously dominating Notre Dame, and Caleb Williams. I kind of told you I thought this was going to happen. I don't think I said it was going to happen a couple weeks ago. He's going to win the Heisman Trophy, barring some abject disaster of a game in the Pac-12 championship game on Friday. That said, we do this thing where we want guys to be like a Heisman Trophy finalist. I'm not really sure why it matters. Like Max Dugan's had a very good year for TCU, but the Heisman Trophy is supposed to be given to the best college football player in America. And yet we have people who, look, I get it. In college basketball, they do it. They show for their conference or they show for a guy. But like, you know, this whole idea that a guy should be, because his team wins or whatever, we have to put, like, Caleb Williams is the best quarterback in the country. It's not really all that close, right? And I would say that, you know, Hendon Hooker's a guy who should absolutely be invited because he was. It's interesting, though, that Bryce Young plays another amazing game. He hadn't been as good this year, but, like, do you not invite him because he's not going to win it? The award does not have the spice it used to have, so much so that now we're not even talking about who's going to win it, because we know Caleb's going to win it. It's who's going to be a finalist, which just feels weird to say. Want to check in with man Dan Beyer. Beyer is a noted Ohio State alum.
No, I'm not, but that's okay.
I mean, I'm Ohio State fan. I meant Wisconsin alum, Ohio State fan. I'm sorry.
I know.
I had a brain flatulence all over the microphone. It smells now. You're an Ohio State fan, and you follow the team. You love the team. Going into the game, what did you think was going to happen?
I was concerned that Ohio State was not going to be able to match Michigan's physicality up front on both sides of the ball, running the football and also stopping Michigan's run game. That was my concern.
And you're right.
Yes. And there was other thing that, you know, and there's, if you'll allow me, because I haven't been able to talk to people about this.
I know. We haven't talked, and you haven't been able to get, because when you, on your Sunday show, you're talking NFL.
Yes.
You don't have time to get to this.
Michigan deserves full credit, absolutely 100% full credit. What I pointed out on Thanksgiving, which is what I think is missed in all of this, is when Ohio State was winning with Urban Meyer, not only did they have the best players, Doug, they were pounding the crap out of you. Whether it's Nick Bosa, Joey Bosa, Chase Young getting after you. I know Chase Young also in the Ryan Day era as well, but they're Urban Meyer guys. When those guys are getting after the quarterback and stopping the run, whole different ball game. And when Ezekiel Elliott's taking the football and running it down your throat, there's nothing you can do. And then when you have the wide receivers that they recruit, when you have that running game, it is quite the recipe for success. And that's not what Ohio State is. They've got the flash of the wide receivers and the quarterback. Their defense isn't that great. Maybe one or two stars stand out on there. And Michigan just physically beat them, as you said. And that was, listen, if Ohio State could have scored on possessions, they could have made Michigan completely one-dimensional in a dimension that they didn't want to play. But Michigan's defense was preventing big plays, period. Ohio State had 3 points in the second half. So, yeah, kudos to Michigan. They got it done.
Isn't it interesting? You know, there are so many people in our industry who said, you know, Harbaugh should be fired. Harbaugh should this. He should go to the pros. Even now, you'll get he'll be the next head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. Like, I don't think so. I just don't. And, you know, again, if you guys would allow me, I understand that many of you did not have the same experience at a university. Okay. But here's the parallel. My dad wasn't a coach at Oklahoma State as his dad was a coach at Michigan. But my dad was a coach and I did play. And when you go back to your school, there's just something special about the experience. And you want others to have that experience, and there's just something that draws you to what's like a home. And I don't think there's that in the NFL. And you know, frankly, you know, you look at some of these young quarterbacks, like the Kyler Murray comments, right? Like if you got to coach a Kyler Murray or somebody like that, like I don't really, you know, he's throwing his coach under the bus at a post-game press conference, like. I don't know if that appeals to a guy once you've been home. So that part of it is, in fact, fascinating. All right, let's dig in on some other stuff. Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. I agree with you, Dan. And there's actually an article out in The Athletic that talks about how that was really the plan from Harbaugh going back a couple years ago, which was to they couldn't out-athlete Ohio State, so they wanted to out-culture them and out-physical them. And that's exactly what took place. It's Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, so then there's this. The New York Jets won, looked good, scored points. Mike White was their quarterback. Zach Wilson's over there looking like Anakin Skywalker with the hood on. Here's Robert Saleh on Mike White's performance.
He didn't need to be anybody but Mike White. We didn't need to turn into the greatest show on turf. We just needed, we just wanted him to play within himself and play efficient. I thought he did that. He made the easy look easy, and that's, I thought he did a really good job with that.
Yeah, and you could take that either way, right? You could take it as, well, he's not, or it's a coach setting him up for and understanding success. Now, part of it is, remember, they're going against Trevor Siemian. They're going against the Bears team that's not particularly good. But he did. He was 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, 315 yards passing, and no ego. Here's Mike White on the performance.
I think personally, the way I approach the quarterback position is being a calming presence in the huddle, especially when things aren't going well, because that's when things can start to spiral and snowball. But it's just distributing the ball and letting them be who they are.
Right. And again, that's it's a great way of being respectful of the guys around you. I'm just going to get to those guys and let Corey Davis and Elijah Moore, let Tyler Conklin, let those guys go and kind of do their thing. The problem with it is we've seen backup quarterbacks come in and win games. We've seen backup quarterbacks come in and energize teams and make you think, oh, maybe this is the guy. And they play that if he wins either of the next 2 weekends, if he wins both, then Zach Wilson will never put on a starter's helmet ever again for the Jets, you know, barring some unforeseen injury or, you know, some colossal collapse. But, like, we'll find out about Mike White. Now they have a little bit of a book on him. The more you see him, hostile environment, on the road, 2 really good teams, and they got tape on you. What could potentially save Zach Wilson is the level of investment they have in him. It doesn't extend much further, but, like, we're talking about a guy who, you know, he's in year 2. You know, he's in year 2. I don't think, as it may feel like he's done, finished, washed up, will never play for the Jets again. Just relax. We've seen plenty of backup quarterbacks come in, play well, energize the team, and we'll see if Zach Wilson gets another shot. It feels like he will at some point. And I think that some point will probably be this season, because they're going to have to figure out, all right, is there a chance of having him next season, or do we find a way to get out from it and move on, you know, like Arizona did from Josh Rosen, for example. And that was up after only 1 year. After only 1 year. Here's Garrett Wilson on his about the Zach Wilson's comments. Garrett Wilson's
wide receiver. I definitely feel like it did. You know, I didn't mean any harm to anyone, you know, by saying it. And I don't think anyone took it that way, luckily, you know. So, honestly, I feel like people was happy I said it. Like I said, you know, come back like this and play the way we did on offense this week. You know, that's what you want to do. This is what we should be doing.
Also, guys want to see what kind of competitor you are. You know, do you take the beating from the papers and the radio and the teammates, and you just lay down and go away? They want a guy that kind of, at some point in time, you got to stand up for yourself. You got to stand up for yourself. And you can only do that by being a better teammate, by being a better dude, and by being ready to play when they call your number. I think they're going to call his number again. I just do. I know he's been bad. It's year 2. Number 2 overall pick. I don't think it ends this soon. Could be wrong.
This is the best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering 2 shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow, the Chiefs did it. They went back to back.
The end of another season, and now for some time away from the studio.
Oh, Mark, we're not done. Now the fun starts. It's the off season.
The combine.
Guys running really fast. You bet we're covering
it. Free agency.
Old faces and new places. Of course we'll talk about it.
The draft.
The next generation of stars. It's a must.
I'll just set up a sleeping bag in the studio.
That's right. There's no better way to stay up to date on the latest from our league than listening to Around the NFL. We'll break down all the moves in free agency and make sure you're ready for the start of next season.
I'll be here. So you should listen to every word we say about everything we see.
That's right, Mark.
Listen to the Around the NFL podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Heed the call.
It's draft season. The 2024 NFL Draft is coming up, and the Move the Sticks podcast has you covered for all your draft needs. Do you want to watch the game like a fan or have the mind of a scout? The show's hosted by me, Daniel Jeremiah, and my partner, Bucky Brooks. The two of us bring knowledge from careers as NFL talent scouts to the podcast world so fans can watch and understand the nuances of the game like never before.
If you want to learn everything about this year's prospects ahead of the draft and learn what makes them stand out, there's no better podcast than Move the Sticks. Who are the top five draft prospects at each position? Which quarterbacks are going in the first round? Who are the top 50 prospects in the draft? Who should you put in your mock draft? We have all the answers for you.
We've been studying these prospects all season, so you won't get a better opinion. We'll have several new episodes dropping each week, and you don't want to miss a single one. Subscribe now and listen to the Move the Sticks podcast on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the craziest surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
This is weird, right? This is weird because this is weird because in all honesty, when you watch Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, it's kind of a mess, right? They lost Tristan Wirfs to injury. Brady hadn't been great, but there have been games which he's been really good. Here's Tom Brady discussing the loss.
They did, and they made him. We didn't. That's ultimately what football comes down to. Someone's got to make them, and someone's, you know, for every play that you give up on defense, they make on offense, and vice versa. You know, they stop you on defense, you don't make a play on offense.
Well, what was weird about it was, okay, it's weird, is that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had three timeouts. They didn't use any of them until until late in the game. They got the ball at their own 25. Okay, got the ball at their own 25, and Brady has a 1 yard completion. Okay, then he finds Julio Jones for 26 yards. Okay, but that because they mismanaged the clock and didn't call timeout after the first catch, they didn't have time after the long reception. And Todd Bowles was asked, like, why didn't you call timeout? Here was his response.
Well, we said if we didn't get yards on the first down, on the first play, we wouldn't call timeout. We'd probably let the clock run. If he saw something, he could throw it. But we didn't get any yards on the first play. We got 1 or 2 yards with Rashard, and we were backed up. So if we had threw a pick and the ball would have went the other way and they had to kick the winning field goal, we felt better going into overtime, so I didn't do it.
But he threw the ball on second.
He threw it on second down. He saw something. He got it in there. Then we called timeout. So could have easily went the other way.
Same way. And that's the same reasoning. That one could have been intercepted, right?
Yeah, it could have been. It was a risky throw, but he got it in there. You know, Tom's been making those throws, but we felt good going in there overtime the way the defense was playing, and we thought we had it right there. So it was just a call we made.
Listen, I understand this. Okay, I get it. You're like, and because the idea is like, we got the ball here, we get the clock running, okay, and worst case scenario, we play for overtime. But you have Tom Brady, so it feels like the rules are a little different, doesn't it? And remember, this is a Tampa team that's coming off of the momentum of playing in Germany and playing well. They got the Saints next week. You know, they still have the Panthers and the Falcons. And it feels like that's probably good. You know, like they could be below 500 to make the playoffs in that division. I mean, as much as Tampa has been an abject disaster in so many ways in comparison to their preseason hopes, they're still sitting there in first place. And, you know, the Falcons are banged up. Carolina's on their third quarterback. Granted, they won a game. And New Orleans just stinks. Right? They just stink. But why would you get Tom Brady? He might throw an interception? That's your response? Like, you got three timeouts. Right? First and second down, you absolutely throw the ball and call time. You know, the inbounds, you call timeout. And then on third down, if you're backed up, maybe then you run the football and you let the clock run down so that when you punt it, you know, or after third down, right, you run the football, you keep it in bounds, then you punt it so there's no time left, or you make them call a time. But what? That one's bizarre. I like Todd Bowles. He's always been a tremendous defensive coach, but I told you like what this deal felt like to start the year. Brady missing time in camp. They've had some injuries. And as much as Bowles gets a relative pass for how bad they were in New York because his team, Mike Maccagnan was their GM. He was bad. They never had a roster and didn't have a quarterback. The fact is, and by the way, his quarterback's playing well in Seattle. And they go from winning last year to not winning this year. John Middlecoff joins us. NFL analyst, host of a 3 Now podcast, joins us on the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. God, I got a myriad of things, but can you explain Todd Bowles' strategy there, end of regulation?
No. I mean, it makes no sense. But I think one thing we've learned is, one, clock management for the majority, even good coaches, is very hit or miss, let alone guys. Like, let's face it. You know, Bruce Arians had some issues with Tom. I mean, I would say overall in his relatively shorter head coaching career, because he got a job late, proven to be a really good head coach. Does it feel like the staff's a little, you know, not great? Todd's an excellent number two. Yep. Just like there are a lot of coaches, Dennis Allen's an excellent number two, but you get put in that spot, and it feels like you can get overwhelmed at stuff. And I know he's got an even-keeled demeanor, but, you know, it's been a borderline. It's not all his fault. I mean, the offense is atrocious, but they are clearly a shell of themselves from what they've been the last couple years.
I also think, I mean, this is my working hypothesis. I think he'll call the Super Bowl, and then during the Super Bowl, he'll announce that he wants to play one more year.
And you think he goes to another team, right?
Yeah.
What would that team be?
Well, I watched San Francisco play yesterday, and they won in spite of, not because of, their quarterback. And that, by the way, I want to credit Dan Beyer. I want to credit Dan Beyer. This was the Dan Beyer planted the seed probably a month and a half ago, and I'm starting to buy in.
I definitely think it would be on the table. My only thing is, yesterday, the 49ers' right tackle was pretty terrible, and Jimmy was getting crushed. Jimmy at least can move a little bit, and obviously that's why they drafted Trey Lance, who ironically got hurt moving. But, I mean, Brady really can't. And in that offense, and you see it with LaFleur, you got to be able to at least do the boot stuff, you know. And that is not, I mean, God loves Tom's pliability and avocado ice cream, but he cannot move. Right.
Okay, speaking of moving quarterbacks, okay, I've only been against it because of the ceiling, right? And the ceiling has been, you know, people figure out in the playoffs. No matter how good you are, you run that read option stuff, they get to the playoffs, and they're going to make you throw from the pocket. But Eagles are dominant up front, offensively and defensively, and it looks like they're going to get the number one overall seed, which gives you a bye, which means, like, you don't have time to prep for a completely different style. You know? I mean, barring the playing the Cowboys, who have seen him twice, and maybe the personnel of the Niners can be, you know, Nick Bosa is just dominating teams right now. I just, I do wonder, can this be the guy and the team that breaks through in the playoffs playing that style?
I also think when you look at recent memory, right, the team that did it was the Ravens, and their pass game outside was pretty crappy. The 49ers years ago, whose defense obviously carried them, they did, you know, Kaepernick could push the ball down the field because he had an explosive arm. Like, these guys, I mean, Devontae Smith is a stud, and obviously A.J. Brown is a man-child, and when Goddard comes back, I mean, their passing game, one, Jalen is really, really improved as a passer, and he is just comfortable throwing the ball outside the numbers. The other thing I saw, Jason Kelce, I get the Kelce, the center, say that he thought in his career that Jalen throws one of the prettiest deep balls, and he's right. Like, they are not afraid. Usually the running teams just don't throw a lot of go routes. Like, they will push the ball down the field, so it does keep you honest. And then, like we've talked about, I mean, I was way wrong on Jalen. I thought he was a running back.
Me too.
But it does speak to,
well,
like,
still kind of is.
I mean, run like a running back.
Well, I mean, he is. I mean, he's an unbelievable. And it's the design runs, which are brilliant, right? But again, like, this is, and they've basically stolen a lot of stuff that Steichen stolen stuff they did at Oklahoma for him, right? With some of these design runs. But man, it works. And then guys have to tackle him in space.
Yeah, their potential downfall is not going to be their offense. Their offensive line is loaded, quarterback's balling, their team's stacked on offense. Defensively, they are getting run on pretty easily.
Yep.
And, you know, Jordan Davis, I mean, they drafted him for a reason, right? He's supposed to be like a, I don't even know what it's called, like a Haloti Ngata, just a versatile freak athlete, enormous, like, obviously he would add to it. But clearly, like, the 49ers don't exactly have Haloti Ngata playing defensive tackle, and their linebackers make every tackle. So the linebacking play with the Eagles, I know they feel good about it, but clearly it's not really working. And in the playoffs, a lot like the NBA, I think the game slows down a little bit. And ironically, this year in the NFL, there's been a lot less scoring, and it's been, even though the Sunday night last night wasn't. But for the most part, you don't have these 40-35 shootouts. It's a slower-paced game. Think about some of the teams that the Eagles, they're going to have, like you said, they're going to be at home, the one seed, which is an enormous advantage now because there's only one bye. But the Cowboys, multiple running backs, and will, in theory, should run the ball a lot. The 49ers, Kyle Shanahan could play a playoff game, and he has before, run it nonstop. And the Vikings, like, in a big game, ideally, you don't put it all on Cousins, and what do they have? Really good running backs. So that, to me, if they were to lose in the playoffs, I could see the, you know, one of those classic, give up 170 yards on the ground, the time of possession favors the other team, maybe you have a turnover, and you lose a game, even though you go, God, we had more talent than them. That to me, would be the downfall of the Eagles.
There are many that are saying this is the last we're seeing of Aaron Rodgers. I look at that contract, and I'm like, there's no, he ain't walking away from $58 million, and there's no trading that deal with the dead cap, $90 million of dead cap money. Do you think he walks away from that money and retires?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you can never know. You know, he goes on one of those forest trips with the ayahuasca and maybe goes, screw it. Because he is, one thing you would say even when the season ends, he thought about it before he got this money. And he's super rich to begin with before even this contract came. He's done well off the field, obviously, as well as on the field. You know, I actually, my brother plays golf at this club in Northern California and was there with another doctor was there having some drinks, and this guy's a doctor that works at Stanford and UC Davis, and he was buddies with the Packer doctor. And he started mentioning how they were texting a while back and said, Roger's thumb is really messed up. And I'm like, you know what? That makes a lot of sense for that thing we witnessed against Tennessee, because he made passes in that game that we've never, like, Aaron, those are layup passes for him. Then the story comes out, and usually when those stories come out, I would have pushed back, but I had heard it from just this doctor. Clearly his thumb's messed up. Now he's injured with the oblique, but like you said, you see the Russell Wilson and the Aaron Rodgers contract. Now, every team in the league would still rather have Aaron Rodgers. He's still playing fine when he's healthy. But you are, when you sign these mega deals, this is not the NBA where the money gets leveled out equally and it's easy to trade. The dead cap, because it's like a credit card, you're kind of stuck. So unless he walks away, I guess he could ask for a trade. And there are kickers in a deal where the dead cap goes down. But it's still, even Matt Ryan, like his dead cap on the Atlanta Falcons this year was really high. So this notion that, like, Jordan Love could be their starter next year. Well, the only way is if he's cool with just quitting, because if he wants to play for the Green Bay Packers next year, he's going to play. Now, here's what it does, is this is Jordan Love's third year. You have to decide on the fifth-year option.
Right, right.
I think it would be somewhat of a tough decision if he had just never played, because that option is based on your position. It gets really expensive. Now, at least, if he can build off, it's hard for me to overreact to last night. Came in, team was down, hit a route that, you know, I mean, Watson did the majority of that. But it was a positive development. I do think, ideally, Rodgers sits out the rest of the year. You get four or five games, I guess a little more than that, right? Five games. And you get to see what this guy has. And then you feel comfortable picking up the fifth-year option. And you just figure it out in 2 years what you do, less about maybe next year. Because this is an all-time season from hell, right? Yep. Back-to-back MVPs, 39 wins in the last 3 years. You've been the one seed multiple times. Rodgers in the peak of his powers. All of a sudden, now you look up, he's injured, out, and you're 4-8. That'd be like the equivalent if the Warriors, I know they won the championship and the Packers didn't, but just missed the playoffs this year. Like, we're the Lakers. You'd be like, what? It's pretty wild to watch.
Let's go to the Chargers. And last week, Manuel Acho said he was the social media quarterback, that Tua's better, but he doesn't get the support. If Tua makes a mistake, if they lose, it's about Tua. Herbert gets all this acclaim. The Chargers took it as attack on him for being like he's not even on social media. What he really meant was he's a highlight guy, whereas if you actually watch, Tua's better. I haven't heard anybody that I know in the NFL believe that. You watched. You're not a big Brandon Staley guy, but you do obviously watch the Chargers a lot. Where are you on Herbert?
I mean, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Like, you don't even need to work in the NFL if you just watch football and watch that guy play. Every Cardinal fan, because I'm in Arizona now, had that game on my second TV with the Niners. Obviously, Kyler's struggling and pretty overrated, but I mean, the difference of the two quarterbacks in that game. I mean, come on, just watch the guy play. If you're over like 35 years old and you've been watching football, his physical attributes, what he's doing, his statistics this year, and just watch the guy play. The other thing is you got to factor in who he's been playing with for a large portion of this year. He is playing with guys, unless you're really digging in, you don't know who they are. And then you give him Keenan Allen back, and what does he do? Throws three touchdowns and the game-winning touchdown and the game-winning, you know, two-point play, which I give the coaching staff credit. That was a really good call. Guy was wide open. Of course, the Cardinals missed. I mean, if you ask Mike McDaniel, Chris Greer, and definitely the owner, if they would trade straight up right now, if they had a redo, would they take Justin Herbert? I mean, come on. They wouldn't hesitate. And
yes.
And clearly
they wouldn't have to discuss it in the room.
No.
What do you think honestly, like, this is what I'm asking. What do you think's behind Acho's take? Like, why would he have that energy towards Herbert?
I don't know. Sometimes you got to throw a curveball, I guess, in that job. I mean, there are some that – I also think that, and I'm guilty of this too, who are hesitant to kind of give him his due for his stats.
Yep.
Now, if he goes on to keep playing like this, and what's coming up? He's got San Francisco this week, best defense in the league. Pretty sure he still plays at New England, at Buffalo. If he just rolls out and throws 38 touchdowns, five picks, and they win the division, I still take Herbert, but I will give him his due as a really, really good player.
They also play the Chargers, too. They also play the Chargers, too, so we'll get to see him on the same field indoors. But outdoors in Buffalo and outdoors in New England. And
this is a big week for Tua. I mean, if he throws three or four touchdowns against the 49er defense, I mean,
well, he got hit and bent up again, where he just that guy falls bad. Oh, it's like, man, he's a bad faller. He just look. I mean, we're like, dude, get, crumple, go into the fetal position instead of falling. Falling like that. Okay, Kyler, he called out the schematics of an interception, of an arm punt interception. But I watched the game and he missed. Anything deep he missed on. He was not accurate down the field. From a scout's eye, what do you see with Kyler in terms of how much it's him and how much it's the scheme?
Well, to me, what's crazy is his coach, who I'm not a big fan of either. I'm just not big on that offense, was his biggest proponent this offseason when he hadn't been paid. To me, there was like that guy was pounding the table. We need to get this done. We need to get this done. And clearly this year, they have not. It doesn't feel like Kyler likes him. It feels like Cliff is like whatever, but it feels like Kyler does not like him. To me, the scheme like gets you layup throws, and Kyler turns the ball over. I mean, period, point blank, end of story, like turns the ball over. Now, when he turns it into backyard football, which is why he was such a great player in college, he's so fast, no matter even if the defensive linemen, who are now most of them, you know, are quick in the NFL, can't catch him, he can make great plays. But it, when it's just like three or five steps, I guess they're in the shotgun a lot, but like, you know, give the wide receivers whatever to get into their given route on that given play, timing and rhythm is not really his thing, right? He has a good arm, and it looks good coming out of his hands, but you watch a guy who was kind of hung his hat on being a remarkable talent, right? Huge arm, big speed, accurate. He's not an accurate player. Now, beside Hopkins, one thing Cliff is really big on is smaller wide receivers.
Yeah, I mean,
he's got
three.
Guy small, Hollywood small, Rondale Moore small, and I like all those guys independently. Like, I would take them
right,
on
but when you're not, it's like look what the Ravens do. The Ravens know they have a guy who's not that accurate, so they have gigantic
tight ends.
And now, right now, they want big wide receivers. They got rid of Hollywood for Sammy Watkins, who's not as good but much bigger.
I just wonder, like, obviously Hackett and, you know, Cliff, they, who knows? They might not win another game. Who would want a coach given the contracts of Kyler and Russell? Like, Russell, kind of weird, clearly just, I think you'd have to bet, might never be good again. Kyler still has a lot of physical attributes. Like, he looked, to me, physically a lot better than he did. You know, his hamstring was hurt. Like, he looked good yesterday, I thought, just moving around and the ball coming out of his hand. So you'd go, there's something to work with, like a, you know, kind of like a piece of clay. But he's clearly not the greatest guy. You know, people don't, you know, just the way he said that after the game, it's like, come on, bro, just lie. We all get it. But it's just, coaches don't love that. What to you would be the more desirable job? I mean, money talks, so if any coach gets offered $10-plus million a year, but I think both those jobs
honestly,
toxic.
I think the Broncos would be.
Got a good defense.
You got a good defense. You have some pieces there, and you'd have to think that this is humbling towards Russell, whereas I don't think it's humbling towards Kyler. I think it's humbling towards Russell. That would be my thing,
which would allow you to worry about Russell working hard.
Whereas, like, we got to get back to running the football more and playing a little bit more conservatively and trying to make it work. He's John Middlecoff. 3 and Out is the podcast. It's outstanding. John, great catching up with you. Talk to you soon.
See you, Doug, later.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft.
That's right. We will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and surprises.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year.
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Lombardi may have been lifted, but that doesn't mean there's no football to talk about. It's the offseason, and there's no better way to stay up to date with the latest from our league than with the Around the NFL podcast. Join me, Dan Hensis, and my buds, Mark Sessler and Greg Rosenthal, for news and fresh content all offseason long. From the start of free agency, where we'll break down familiar faces headed to new places, to the next generation of superstars walking across that stage at the NFL draft, we have you covered. Listen to the Around the NFL podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Heed the call.
It's draft season. The 2024 NFL Draft is right around the corner, and the Move the Six podcast has you covered for all your draft needs. The show's hosted by me, Daniel Jeremiah, and my partner, Bucky Brooks.
When it comes to Detroit and the draft, Move the Sticks is the podcast that will answer all of your questions. Who should you put in your mock draft? Don't worry, tune in and you'll be ready to watch the draft like a scout.
We've been studying these prospects all season, so you won't get a better opinion. Subscribe now and listen to the Move the Sticks podcast on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.